Where are you going? Dinner's far, there's good news.
It is time again for Donald
Trump.
Theater.
No one knows what's up or down.
Black
or white.
Legal
or
impeachable.
Everything is make believe in Donald
Trump.
Theater.
So let's
pull
the
curtain
back.
We are controlling transmission. If we wish to make it louder, we will bring up the volume. We can change the focus to a soft blur.
You're moving into a land of both shadow and substance, of things and ideas. You've just crossed over into.
Logic is an enemy and truth is a menace.
Truth isn't truth.
I hear it's fake news, but maybe it is, maybe it isn't.
I think it's fake news, okay? Now, would I do that? Absolutely.
We're doing a lot of things that are very good, including waste and fraud. Tremendous waste and tremendous fraud.
The President of the United States has the authority to do what the President has the authority to do.
You will respect my authority.
Yeah, I've declared myself as king.
I learned a lot from Richard Nixon.
Well, when the president does it, that means that it is not illegal.
I cannot tell a lie. I'm sorry.
Nobody likes me.
I could cause panic much better than even you. I could do much. I would make you look like a minor league player.
Yosemites, Yosemites.
Somebody with the strength to take it on. Keep us safe together and make this country strong. Walking among our people, there's someone to lead us on. Lead a rainbow of colors in a broken world. Spirit.
Donald Trump and the Republican Party are waging a war on the very mechanisms of voting ahead of the upcoming election in November.
The president today suggested delaying the November election, which would be a flagrant violation of the Constitution and the law. But hey, that hasn't stopped him before. We're less than 100 days from the presidential election. The economy just had its largest contraction in history. There were more than a million jobless claims for the 19th week in a row. States are recording increases in deaths from an out-of-control pandemic and a lawless, aspiring autocrat who, I guess, also believes in demon sperm, is sending secret police to American cities to round up protesters while gutting the post office to delay mail-in voting, ignoring Supreme Court decisions, signaling that he'll refuse to accept the outcome of the election, and now calling for that election to be delayed, even though he obviously doesn't have the power to do that.
He tweeted this morning, "With universal mail-in voting, not absentee voting, which is good, 2020 will be the most inaccurate and fraudulent election in history. It will be a great embarrassment to the USA. Delay the election until people can properly, securely, and safely vote."
Oh, great. So not only is he casually suggesting incinerating American democracy, he's doing it like he's offering hors d'oeuvres at a party. Now, to state the obvious, Trump does not have the legal power to do this. The Constitution gives Congress, and only Congress, the power to set the election date. Congress passed a law more than a century and a half ago setting that date, and the 20th Amendment says the president's term expires in January, no matter what. All of which, of course, would be news to Trump. If you locked him in a room and told him to read the Constitution, you'd come back 5 minutes later to find it tucked into his shirt like a bib while he wolfs down on a bunch of uncooked Goya products.
"These beans are like tiny baby pellets. Oh, you have to cook them? Oh, and what? Water? What's that? Oh, it's like Diet Coke without the chemicals and food coloring? And where do you get it? The sink."
To be very clear, the president cannot do that. The Constitution is unambiguous about this, that Congress, not a president who may have their own self-interest in mind, gets to decide when the leader of the United States is elected. And to his other point, there is no evidence, of course, of widespread voter fraud through mail-in voting, even in states with all mail-in votes.
That's right. Trump isn't actually allowed to delay the election. We'll still have the election on November 3rd, but he'll probably just add 100 days to August. And sure, maybe the court overturns it, but that might not happen until August 73rd. And I mean, this is an absurd suggestion. I know. We can't reschedule the election. For starters, both candidates are like 200 years old. I mean, we've got to keep things moving. I'm not even sure that Trump understands what an alarming proposal this is, because this is basically the move of a dictator. But Trump is just casually throwing it out there in a tweet with a bunch of question marks, like he's on a group text trying to bail on happy hour.
"Hey y'all, November 3rd's not great for me. Maybe we reschedule for 2021? Thoughts? What do you guys think, huh?"
And just by the way, you remember a few years ago when I said Trump was an African dictator? You remember that? Yeah? Yeah? People acted like I was crazy. But this is how it starts. First, they just suggest that maybe you postpone the election. Then they suggest that some of the votes are not valid. And pretty soon they're saying, "You know what's really unfair? That there are two political parties. Why are there two political parties? Let's just have one. Then you don't have to worry about making all these decisions anymore. America is mine." Oh, and by the way, I don't know if you remember, but 3 months ago, Joe Biden predicted that Trump would try to delay the election. And this is how Trump reacted back then.
"I never even thought of changing the date of the election. Why would I do that? November 3rd, it's a good number. No, I look forward to that election. And that was just made up propaganda."
Oh, I love me some fake Trump outrage. "How dare you? I won't sink that low for at least 3 more months."
Look, it's not enough to just consult your pocket constitution, shrug off the president's tweet, and move on satisfied that we've outmaneuvered him with a fact check. Otherwise, we're just like AV club nerds explaining to the school bully why it's illegal to steal our lunch money while he repeatedly dunks our heads in the toilet. Because the craven husks around Trump are already laying the groundwork for Trump to do exactly what he wants to do, law be damned. They were already doing it before Trump's psychotic tweet today. On Tuesday, the Attorney General William Barr was asked if the president had the power to move the date of an election. Now, this is as straightforward a legal question as you can possibly get. It's in the Constitution and in federal law. There's no ambiguity. But Barr acted like it was one of the great unsolved mysteries of the universe.
"Can a sitting U.S. president move an election day?"
"Actually, I haven't looked into that question under the Constitution."
"Well, 2 U.S. Code Section 7 says federal election day is the Tuesday after the first Monday in November. So if you take that as a correct statute, is there any executive action by a president?"
"I've never been asked the question before. I've never looked into it."
Oh, you haven't looked into whether the president can just unilaterally move the date of an election? Maybe that's worth doing since Petulant Patty over here is our current president. I don't know what a rhino eats, but if I was pet-sitting one for the weekend, I'd Google it. Or don't look into it, because it's a thing that is clearly prohibited by the Constitution and federal law and which has never been done in the history of the country, including through depressions and wars. It's not up to you to look into it, you fascist Garfield. This guy's just willfully ignoring the law. Bart clearly doesn't care what the Constitution says, and he doesn't care if Democrats disapprove of his answers. He's like a high school dick. Knows he's not going to get suspended by the principal because his father owns the town quarry. Oh, property damage is against school policy, principal? I'll make sure to tell Scooch and Mando that while we're keying your car. And then today, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo suggested the same thing when asked about the president's tweet. He acted like it was an open question that would be decided not by the Constitution or Congress, but by Trump's Justice Department.
Can a president delay the November presidential election, Mr. Secretary?
Senator, I'm not going to enter a legal judgment on that on the fly this morning.
Can a president delay a presidential election?
Senator, the Department of Justice, others will make that legal determination.
No, they won't. It's in the Constitution and federal law. It's as clear as it could possibly be. It's not some unsolvable mathematical equation you have to scratch out on a chalkboard like a janitor, especially since if Trump were the janitor, the answer would be, I could do whatever I want. It's obvious these guys are softening the ground for Trump to contest the election or even delay if necessary. And even if he loses, to call the result illegitimate. Democracy stands in the way of autocracy and oligarchy, so the autocrats and oligarchs want to get rid of it, which is what they're doing. And the GOP, the party of autocrats and oligarchs, are once again solemnly furrowing their brows and then ducking behind plants and into elevators like they always do. Lindsey Graham said, I don't think that's a particularly good idea. Iowa Senator Joni Ernst said, not answering any questions. Texas Senator John Cornyn said, I think it's a joke, I guess. I don't know how else to interpret it. And North Dakota Senator Kevin Cramer said, I think that if you guys take the bait, he'll be the happiest guy in town. I read it, I laughed. I thought, my gosh, this is going to consume a lot of people, except real people, and it was clever.
Yes, t'was clever. T'was clever indeed. A bit of whimsy to brighten the day of body. Little wisecrack, he's quick ribbled.
Trump isn't clever, and he certainly doesn't joke. He floats things, and then he sees if he can get away with it, and only if everyone freaks out, he suddenly claims it's a joke. And by the way, media, yes, there are some Republicans saying the election will happen on time. Stop giving them credit for that. That's not a courageous stand. It's just the bare minimum. Just because the bar is all the way on the floor doesn't mean we have to give them credit for stepping over it. It's like if your burnout son gets an F on a history final, and you say, look who showed up and took the test! I'm so proud of you, Scooch! We can all see what's happening here. Trump and the GOP are laying the groundwork to contest the election results in November. The president's spreading conspiracy theories about mail-in voting, openly defying Supreme Court orders, slowing down mail delivery, and slashing post office hours, sending secret police to American cities to crack down on protesters, and signaling that he'll refuse to accept the outcome of the election if he loses.
In general, not talking about November, are you a good loser?
I'm not a good loser. I don't like to lose. I don't lose too often. I don't like to lose.
But are you gracious?
You don't know until you see. It depends. I think mail-in voting is going to rig the election. I really do.
Are you suggesting that you might not accept the results of the election?
I have to see.
Can you give a direct answer? You will accept the election?
I have to see. Look, I have to see. No, I'm not going to just say yes. I'm not going to say no. And I didn't last time either.
Why are we even asking him? We know what he's going to do. He won the last election and he still contested the results and claimed that 3 million people illegally voted for Hillary. Poor winners almost always turn out to be poor losers too. If he loses this time, he's going to say 5 billion people voted illegally and the media was unfair to him and Hillary snuck into a voting booth with a crowbar to hack the election and Obama should be arrested for looking better than him in an unbuttoned shirt. And then he's going to tell his lasagna gargoyle over here to file a lawsuit in every court in the country while sending his shock troops to kidnap protesters in a Chrysler Pacifica.
We're using American cars, folks. They wanted to use a Kia Sorento, and I said, no, use the Pacifica. They just got air conditioning.
And then he'll say something insane like, you know, this.
There'll be a time when they're going to want us to go in full blast. We are ready, willing, and able to go in there with great force. As soon as the cities and states call to ask for help on a very large basis, we will be there with full force and we will stop this horrible situation very quickly.
So in Portland, they either clean out their city and do the job and get rid of the anarchists and agitators, which is what they are. They're not protesters. They're anarchists and agitators. We have many in jail. Many of them have been put in jail and it's going to be a long sentence. They either clean out their city and do it right, or we're going to have to do it for them.
Think of the language Trump is using to talk about Americans and American cities. Full blast, full force, clean it out. Those sound like the settings on a Guy Fieri line of bidets. That's how dictators talk. I tell him to start wearing a tunic, but instead of Chairman Mao, he looked more like Ernest Blowhole.
Responding to his tweet this morning on the idea of delaying the November election, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell had to remind him in a public interview that the election is set in stone and any power to change it lies not with the president, but with Congress. But as usual, none of that truth has gotten in the way of Trump's never-ending onslaught of attacks on mail-in voting. From the Washington Post, quote, he has attacked mail voting nearly 70 times since late March in interviews, remarks, and tweets, including at least 17 times this month.
Well, never in the history of the country, through wars, depressions, and the Civil War, have we ever not had a federally scheduled election on time. And we'll find a way to do that again this November 3rd.
To our knowledge, and we asked NBC presidential historian Michael Beschloss about this just to be sure, no president has ever raised the idea of delaying the election in public comments. It was raised by others amid the Civil War and World War II. But the idea was immediately rejected by Presidents Lincoln and Roosevelt, respectively.
Regardless of his insane tweets, the chances are that Trump will not be able to move the election, which means he's going to have to come up with a plan to win it the old-fashioned way, by using racism.
President Trump is facing scrutiny for his words about affordable housing in the suburbs. He made the comments while discussing the rollback of a housing rule aimed at fighting racial discrimination as Trump works to court white suburban voters.
There will be no more low-income housing forced into the suburbs. I abandoned and took away and just rescinded the rule.
The Obama-era rule forced local governments that receive federal housing funds to assess patterns of racial housing discrimination and submit plans to eliminate it. On Wednesday, the president tweeted, "I am happy to inform all the people living their suburban lifestyle dream that you will no longer be bothered or financially hurt by having low-income housing built in your neighborhood. Your housing prices will go up based on the market, and crime will go down. Enjoy." Later in Texas, the president reaffirming that message.
I've seen conflict for years. It's been hell for suburbia. We rescinded the rule 3 days ago, so enjoy your life, ladies and gentlemen. Enjoy your life.
Okay, first of all, suburban lifestyle dream sounds like the world's lamest Katy Perry song. But just in case it wasn't clear, Trump is saying that he's gonna stop black people from moving into white people's neighborhood. I mean, it's not even subtle enough to call that a dog whistle. It's too loud. It's more like a dog steel drum. I won't let the black people live near you. Now look, I don't know why having black people move into your neighborhood is a bad thing, but apparently it's so scary, the Trump campaign has already made it into a horror movie.
They were living the dream lifestyle. They thought the high property values would never end. Until one day, from the team that brought you Migrant Caravans comes a whole new election season fear. What happens when your street goes from suburban to urban? Keep out. This fall, the scariest N-word is neighbors.
This thing's going away. It will go away like things go away.
This virus is going to disappear. It's going to disappear. One day it's like a miracle. It will disappear.
Come. You have to be calm. It'll go away.
This is going to go away without a vaccine.
This is going away.
It's going to go away. This is going to go away.
I said it's going away, and it is going away.
It will go away. You know it is going away.
Great work, Gailey. Great work today. Okay, great misinformation. That's the kind of game we need. But what was your question? Did I think that COVID and I would be such great teammates so quickly? Well, you know, I saw the numbers that COVID was putting up, and they were strong numbers, but they were in China and other countries, you know, that aren't as strong as us. You know, China has a government that lies. You know, I respect them so greatly. Xi, great friend, but he lies. And they have those nasty food markets that are sort of disgusting. So I knew a disease like COVID could put up, you know, strong numbers, but I'm not impressed. You got to do it in America for me to be impressed. And under many administrations, we've been so strong on viruses and plagues. Even under Obama and Sleepy Joe, two deaths with Ebola, okay? You know, H1, T1, whatever. You know, I don't pay a lot of attention to but they had another flu thing. 12,000 deaths, that's all, even under Sleepy Joe. Because we have such strong health industries. You know, it's kind of interesting when you look at our industries. I got very interested when I realized how strong our health industries were compared to other countries. And I said, we're going to have to do a lot stronger. I'm going to need help if I'm going to ruin our health industries. And I saw COVID and I thought, I have the potential to make COVID sort of a great plague. And, you know, so I said, well, my skills, you know, insecure, don't like to read, Mountain Dew for brain supporters. So I said, no masks. I used all the tools, no masks, misinformation, telling people whatever I wanted just to try and help the economy. And with COVID, I was able to make COVID so strong, okay? Almost as strong now as the 1917 flu, which I call 1917, because I said it once incorrectly, and now I'm going to say it wrong 10,000 times. You know, Malcolm Gladwell, who's half a black, by the way, not a lot of people, he's so light-skinned, not a lot of people know that. He says if you do something 10,000 times, you become good at it. So if I say the 1917 flu 10,000 times, that'll just become the thing. So we're doing very strongly, and we're great teammates.
Take a look at some of these charts.
I'd love to.
We're going to look.
Let's look.
And if you look at death,
yeah,
per,
started to go up again.
One. Well, right here, the United States is lowest in numerous categories. We're lower than the world.
Lower than
we're
the
lower
world.
Lower than
what is that?
Europe.
In what? In what?
Take a look. Right here. Here's case death.
Oh, you're doing death as a proportion of cases. I'm talking about death as a proportion of population. That's where the U.S. is really bad.
Well,
much worse than South Korea, Germany, etc.
You can't do that.
Why can't I do that?
You have to go by where. Look, here is the United States. You have to go by the cases. The cases.
Why
are
not
there.
As a proportion
when
of population?
When we have somebody. What it says is when you have somebody that has it, where there's a case,
oh, okay,
the people that live from those cases.
It's surely a relevant statistic to say if the U.S. has X population and X percentage of death of that population versus South Korea.
No, because you have to go by the cases.
Well, look at South Korea, for example. 51 million population, 300 deaths. It's crazy compared to...
You don't know that.
I do. It's
you
on
don't
the,
know
it's,
that. Don't,
you think they're faking their statistics? South Korea?
An I won't advanced get into country? That because they have a very good relationship with the country. But you don't know that. And they have spikes. Look, here's
Germany,
one.
Germany, low, 9,000.
Here's one right here, United States. You take
anyway.
The number of cases.
Okay.
Now look, we're last, meaning we're first.
Last? I don't know
we
what we're first
best.
In. As a
take a look. Okay. Again, it's cases. Just,
okay.
And we have cases... Because of the testing.
Wait. 1,000 Americans are dying a day, but I understand on cases, it's different.
No, but you're not reporting it correctly, Jonathan.
I think I am, but...
If you take a look at this other chart, look, this is our testing, I believe. This is the testing, yeah.
Yeah, we do more tests.
No, wait a minute. Well, don't we get credit for that? And because we do more tests, we have more cases. In other words, we test more, we have... But, now, take a look. The top one, that's a good thing, not a bad thing. The top, Jonathan.
If hospital rates were going down and deaths were going down, I'd say terrific. You deserve to be praised for testing, but they're all going up.
You know, they very rarely talk.
60,000 Americans are in hospital.
If you watch the news or read the papers, they usually talk about new cases.
I'm talking about death.
Well, you look at
death.
Death is way down from where it was.
It's 1,000 a day. It was 2,500. It went down to 500. Now it's going up again.
Excuse me, where it was is much higher than where it is right now.
It went down and it went
spiked,
up again.
But now it's going down again. It's going
up.
Down in Arizona. It's going down in Florida.
Nationally
it's going down in Texas. Take a look at this. These are the tests.
It's going down in Florida?
Yeah, it's going. It leveled out and it's going down. That's my report as of yesterday.
Hello, I'm from the U.S. government with an update on our pandemic response. In the space of just a few months, our don't worry, bro, it's just the flu policy has gotten a ton of you killed. Some say this tragedy was inevitable, but actually, studies show that if we'd simply responded like other governments who listen to scientists instead of Chuck Woolery and the MyPillow guy, we could have prevented almost all of those deaths. Unfortunately for you, the amount of responsibility we take in doing our job comes to approximately all, which is why we got more of you killed than 50 9/11s. Trump 2020. With a president like this, who needs terrorists? As part of our Distract From How Many of You Were Getting Killed policy, we'll be telling you the real threat to America is minorities demanding not to be murdered by cops. And to make you feel safe, we've deployed a secret police force to kidnap people off your streets without probable cause. Some call that taking a dump on the Constitution, but we call it Law and Order. Thanks to all the well-armed militias cheering us on as we literally do the one thing the Second Amendment was supposed to prevent. What's that? People are looting in the streets? Oh, darling. The real looting is the one we're doing right here. As part of our exploit this crisis to funnel wealth from the port of the rich policy. Like, remember when we told you COVID was no big deal so we could buy ourselves just enough time to sell off our personal stocks before the crash which we knew was coming?
Phew.
Or when we passed the biggest bailout package in history, which funneled tons to corporations and easily forgivable loans. We even gave billions to churches bankrupted by sex abuse scandals. Even the I and I Love Small Government Rand Institute got some of the loot. But hey, don't forget that single barely above minimum wage check we sent you. You know, the one you simply handed over to your landlord to pay the rent, who in turn handed it to a bank to pay their mortgage. Which is how we laundered another $1 trillion to banks through the working class. Profits made, profits kept. Now millions of you face homelessness and one in five families are going hungry. But look on the bright side. Billionaires regained $500 trillion of their wealth. We're not in this together. If you survive till November, be sure to re-elect us so we can get the rest of you killed in the looming climate and extinction crisis. You know, that other crisis we're ignoring and plan to profit from obscenely at your expense.
Trump 2020.
You. Of course, we realize that after lying to you, robbing you, and getting your loved ones killed, some of you might be contemplating not voting for us. But don't worry. That's why we've adopted our deregister millions of you policy, as well as our closed polling stations, file lawsuits, and let's spread bullshit about voter fraud policy. And if that's still not enough, well, maybe we'll just cancel the election.
Trump 2020.
Now get back to work, America. Our stocks won't make themselves go up, you pieces of God bless America, except Portland and Chicago. Authorized by the Department for Sacrificing School Teachers to the Great Bull God to make line go up.
Preceding show was recorded at Waveform's WGXC in the Hudson Valley in New York State.